You got to speak your way out. Because spirit is breath. See, so many people are so caught up in themselves, they're trying to figure things out, calculate, intellect. You know, living out of your mind is a terrible thing. When you live out of the spirit, it's totally different. See, we are spirits. Everyone say, I'm a spirit. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Now, your spirit communicates to the other side. Your flesh communicates, your body communicates on this side. Amen? And your soul interprets. Everyone say, my soul interprets. So if your soul isn't renewed with the Word of God, how can it interpret what's going on? Oh, always stay in the flesh. You'll live out of your mind instead of the spirit. Of course, some people are so soulish that that's all they do is live out of their feelings, and their feelings dictate their lives. Anyone who lives out of their feelings all the time is dangerous. Dangerous to themselves and others. How many your feelings can lie? Oh, well, I really believe that. I just really felt that. And then it wasn't true. That's why we must live, walk in the spirit. And it takes a process of going through things. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They didn't understand what the heck he was saying. They just said, okay. But he spoke about himself of being the three doors of the tabernacle. The outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Which God established with Moses so he can meet with man. Amen? So when he met with man, he used priests. They had to sacrifice blood. They had to sacrifice animals because God couldn't get near people because they were corrupt, sin. So he made them sacrifice an animal so that he could approach them through the blood. So the nation of Israel sacrificed animals once a year to cleanse for atonement. God showed that right in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve blew it and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. The Lord took Adam and Eve and he killed an animal and he covered both of them with animal skin because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen? So in this, Jesus saying, I'm the way, truth, and life, representing that he is the three doors of the tabernacle. Now, we look at the doors as a physical arena. See, but we've got to begin to look things in a spiritual arena. Jesus paid the price on the cross, and he ripped the veil, and a door was open. The tabernacle to access God was open. But the only way you can access him is by repentance, because repentance activates the blood of the Lamb. So that's why he says, repent that you may be refreshed. Repent and forgive. It doesn't matter what anybody's done to you. It doesn't matter what you've done to anyone else. You got to repent yourself before God. Amen? When you seriously ask for God's forgiveness for all the things you've done, you are washed by the blood of the Lamb, and you are considered a virgin. You're brand new. Now, your mind can't comprehend those things, but your spirit can. And the more you stay filled with the Spirit of God, the more you realize who you are. And your identity begins to get restored to you that was lost when you first came here. See, because when you were home, because you're a spirit, you were with God, when you came here, everything was removed. Your identity, your memory of home, everything. And you had to be born again of the Spirit to be reconnected to back home. See, we don't belong here. We're just traveling through here. We're being trained here for better things coming. Once we leave this place, only way we're coming back is when Jesus returns. And we come back with a full glorified body.
Yes.
No more aches and pains. Amen. We'll have a glorified body. Praise be to God. How many of y'all know there's a reality and a false reality? Again, I refer to the movie Matrix. Such a powerful flick. If people know it was a message from God, trying to tell us where we live, how we're living. We live in a false reality. And that's one of the things God is trying to wake us up so that we can come out of this false reality and live in the true reality, the eternal reality, be restored to our home where we came from. John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Hello, I am the door. In other words, he is the door of life. He is the door. It's not a physical door. It's a spiritual door. It's a door of life. It's like walking through something. I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Saved. And will go in and out and find pasture, a place of rest. But I want you to look at something. He'll go in and out of what? The door. He'll go through the door and back out of the door. Into the door and back out of the door. Amen? Does somebody get it? Praise God. The thief does not come to what? Except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who's the thief? Satan and his demons. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So if you ain't got life in abundance, if you're finding your life being stolen, amen? Things are being killed and destroyed in your life, then the enemy has access to you. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, the one who seeks money, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. So even the sheep know the shepherd. Does everybody get it? When you are born of the Spirit, you know the shepherd. Again, Jesus is the door, the way, the truth, and the life. Truth and the life. He's the giver of existence. Not just the door, a moving, breathing door between two realities, a temporary and eternal. Again, we have access to go in and out of this door. This door moves, it flows. Is everybody okay? Revelation 3. It's called the door of reality. That's why people are so caught up in this world, because they're still in a false reality. They're caught up on me, myself, and I instead of the way, truth, and life. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 3:14, please. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I want you to think about that for a second. The beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I can wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are what? Lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you what? Out of my mouth. Wow. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, so that you may what? You may see. Lukewarm, no longer seekers. They're no longer seekers. They've got caught in religion. They're living out of their minds and not out of the spirit. They believe that knowledge is what's going to free them. Although God says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But see, worldly knowledge is different than eternal knowledge. We are eternal beings. And until we begin to realize that we are spirits, and that we may need to maintain that position in the spirit to overcome all things that the world is trying to destroy us, no matter what. In verse 19, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and what? Repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I do what? I knock at the door. Now, I want you to realize that he's on the other side knocking at the door. Does everybody get it? To get our attention. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. He is on the other side knocking on that reality door. And he wants you to open it up so you can invite him in to this false reality so he can teach you the true reality. Is everybody okay? And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, lukewarm, no longer seekers. He stands at the door from his side to invite for fellowship. He's saying buying gold, it means revelations. Revelations of great value to change hearts and minds. This is a door of life. It's a door of life. It's not only a door of reality, but it is a door of life available for everyone. But so many miss it. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Oh, hallelujah. So when you go in to pray, you're actually going on the other side. Shut the door from the what? Carnal world. Shut the door from carnality in the temporary realm and go to the eternal, and that's when you can fellowship and pray with him. Luke 11 and verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give you a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Boy, do we always need the Holy Spirit. He's the connector to our home. Ask, seek, knock. on the door of the Lord. He is the door of life. You know, that door breathes. That door breathes. It moves. It's not a door of carnality. It's a door of life. Acts 16, please, in verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to pray, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. In other words, she was demonized. It was a familiar spirit. Who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." She wasn't lying, right? And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, so he realized it wasn't the true spirit, because a demon will definitely annoy you. And this she did for many days. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the market to the authorities. And they brought them to a magistrate and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining. No, they were not complaining. They were not freaked out. They were trusting God. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying. And they were singing after being beaten and then chained. And they were singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. See what happens in praise and worship? And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew him his sword and was about to kill himself, because he knows he was about to get executed. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What did Jesus have to do? Opened the doors. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. In other words, they ministered to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and they rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Now is that phenomenal? I'm telling you. They were praying and singing while bound and chained into this false reality. But God opened the door to the true reality of Christ, where heaven is released and freedom is manifested. Marvelous. God is still doing these things today, you know. He's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's just trying to position us to receive. That's a daily fight. In Matthew 25, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they stopped worshiping. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered and said, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. Go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." No one can give you oil. You must buy it yourself. What is the price? Worship. Why? Because when you worship, you're sowing in the Spirit. Amen? And when you worship, as you sow in the Spirit, God is filling you with His Spirit. You're getting oiled up. Some of us need an oil change, you know? Hallelujah. That's why you need to come to service and you get oil changes. And there's no charge. The price is worship. Hallelujah. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, everyone say ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. So they all came out of the false reality and went into the true reality. And then the door was what? Shut to all those who didn't have the oil. Why? Because you have to have the oil to get in. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open up to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." This is so powerful. Those whom stayed filled and ready with the Spirit were granted access to the door of life. They were granted access. You know, think about this. Remember when the flood came and Noah was, the waters began to come, and then what did the Lord shut the door of the ark? When that door shut, everything else changed in the whole world. And when that door was open, a whole new reality was there. A whole new reality. Glory. Exodus 29, verse 38. This is the Lord speaking to Moses and telling him what he needs to do at the tabernacle. "Now this is what you shall offer on the altar: 2 lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the 1 lamb shall be 1/10 of an ephah of flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil, and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the what? At the door of the what? Tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Well, I will what? Meet you to speak with you." Oh, hallelujah. So where does God speak to us? From his door. He speaks to us. "And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory." Hallelujah. I love it. The door of the Lord is the tabernacle of meeting. If you've never seen the tabernacle video, it's good to watch it, to see it. It explains the 3 chambers. Isaiah 26. And it's on our website in Eternal Library. Isaiah 26, verse 20. come, my people, enter your what? Your what? Your chambers. And shut your doors behind you. Yes. Come out of the carnality. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. In other words, God's punishment is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. So we see these are things that are happening right now. That's why everything that's happening is causing people to draw to God. You know? Punish the earth. Only his people will enter through the door of reality and escape the judgment of God on the wicked. Only his people. Remember when the Lord passed over Israel, or Egypt. What did he have to do? Sacrifice a lamb and put the blood on the lintels of the what? The door. And when the Lord recognized the blood, they didn't die. Their firstborn wasn't dead. But all the Egyptians lost their firstborn, even the animals. So we are protected by the blood, by going through the door. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me. And there are many adversaries. In other words, listen, there's many of your enemies that will do everything they can to prevent you to access that door. Doesn't he want you to hang around that door? Does everybody see that? And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Praise God. Great and effective door has opened with much resistance of my enemies to stop me from entering. Every day, you and I, again, you'll hear me say this over and over, we are hard pressed. The attacks are great. And the world is trying to dull us. People run to the phone instead of the throne. People are dependent on medication instead of the presence of God. And don't get me wrong, medication is, I don't know. I guess it really is hard for me to say. You know, there's supplements which are helping us, but there's so much medication that messes people up. Man, you go to a hospital, they want to put you on fentanyl and mental stuff and keep you like a zombie. And then you go to the detox facilities and they give you stuff that we just place and make it worse. Then people are walking around like, who am I? Why am I here? They lose their identity because that's the powers of darkness. Because pharmakia means black magic and witchcraft and sorcery. And Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. So if he can keep a person in a deceptive state of being, that person will miss everything God's trying to do. Until that person finally comes to a place of surrender and go through the process of deliverance and healing. And reconnected and restored to who they truly are. But it's available to everyone. No one said it was going to be easy. The Bible tells us that it's narrow and difficult. Amen? In fact, let's go to Matthew 7. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. What does it say? Enter by the narrow door or the narrow gate. For wide is the gate or door and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who what? Go in by it. Wow. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. There are few who find that door. That breathing, life-giving door that moves. And it's available to every single one. is a door of reality, and so many people have not passed through it. They've gone up to it and never entered. An enemy takes them out of the way by love of money, self, sin, transgressions, iniquities, whatever, ancestral curses. They can't break loose to go through that door. But that's why we got to sow our way out and break things off. That's why God gave us that prayer booklet, to break things off. Listen, again, if you're living a life where the enemy's stealing, killing, destroying your family, your business, your finances, you, the enemy's got access. So we need to shut those doors to the enemy. This is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. You can't fight things in the spirit with the things in the flesh or physical. You will lose every time. Genesis 19, starting at verse 1. Now two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now listen, these angels did not come with wings. They came as humans. But Lot can tell that they were not humans. Probably because of the glory of God that was on them. And he said, "Here now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." In other words, that we may pervert them. And Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him. He entered the carnal arena and said, "Please, my brother, do not do wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do with them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they came under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as judge. Now we'll deal worse with you than with them." So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break the door down. But the men reached out with their hands. Who? What men? The angels. And pulled Lot inside the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with what? Blindness, both small and great, so that they became very weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because of the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws and who had married his daughters and said, "Get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But his sons-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. And when the morning dawned and the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." See, God always makes a way. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to them, and they brought him out of the and set him out of, outside the city. So it came to pass when they had been brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to him, please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And so my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city is called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities of the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like smoke of the furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent out Lot of the midst through overthrow, when he overthrew the cities which God, Lot dwelt in. Why? Because Abraham had covenant with God. And so Lot was covered being a family member. Amen. But again, we're watching right now Sodom and Gomorrah get brought down. It's not the location. It's the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. All over the world. All the corruption, all the lies, all the judges, all those who hold seats and magistrates, all those who hold seats and positions of authority that are coming against the will of the Lord. And Trump is doing the will of the Lord. And there's no doubt about it. And anybody who can't see it is living in a temporary reality. It's all that's to it. Amen? So the door of reality, the door of life is available for me and you. Access it every day. You will get revelation. You'll get impartation. There's freedom. There's rejoicing. And there's joy, peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And God will reveal things to you to come. You know, so many times we're waiting on the Lord to speak to us, and he's waiting on the Lord to draw near to us, to him. Sometimes he's waiting on us, but we're waiting on him. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for your word and what you're preparing to happen. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, and let your grace abound abundantly. I pray for each and every one in this room tonight, Lord, that you'd visit them even while they sleep, to bring them revelation, bring them deliverance and healing, and to drive all sicknesses, diseases, and demons from each and every one of us, from our homes and our possessions to the pit. Lord, reconnect us, renew us, and refresh us, that we may be about your business in true spirit and power, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.